Welcome to the Balls Up podcast. That's right, it's Not Safe for Work, episode one. This podcast will basically be us all bringing one news story to the table each week, followed by a would you rather. We've never done podcasting before, any of us.
No.
Ever.
Oh, I don't know. Hasn't Dave been on a podcast?
I have been on a podcast,
oh,
yeah.
What podcast have you been on?
Oh, he pays attention, didn't he? I was a guest on some... Was on a business one, The Economist.
It was actually really good. I listened to it.
It was only
because the fiance was on it as well.
But yeah. Not me. Me and Dave aren't engaged.
No.
Yeah, but anyway, other than Dave being on one random podcast, none of us have really done it properly ever. So bear with us. There might be some problems, but yeah, fingers crossed it goes well. Also, what you'll notice today is that the boys are wearing Root Attire clothing.
Boom. Have a look.
If anything. Lovely.
Big up the boys at Root Attire. If you want to get some
lovely designs on the back. Good stuff.
Click on the link in the description.
Shout out Kez.
Yeah. So, should we kick it off? The first news story is being brought to the table by Dave Horner. This is a NSFW first.
Historic.
This could go down. When this is the biggest podcast in the world, this will go down as a
list. Because when it's going to be the biggest podcast in the world, the question everyone's going to be asking was, but what was the first news item brought to the table?
And what will it be?
It will be that E3 based. The biggest video game conference is currently going on, but I want to talk about Ninja, the man known for streaming on Fortnite. Now, Joe may slag off my appearance on a random podcast, but Joe, you tried streaming on Twitch in the past, didn't you?
I did try.
How well did that go?
Mate, Twitch is like a fun platform. Like, I've been watching a lot of Twitch recently.
And there's a lot of Twitch.
I did try it, I'll be honest. I did one Football Manager 2018 stream. Got 32 viewers, so not very many.
I'll be honest, it's more than I would have got if I did it.
Yeah, got 32 viewers. I think I've got like 300 followers on there now.
Yeah,
I haven't done it since. Don't know why you're mocking me,
it's
mate.
It's really good, mate. 300 followers.
I try my best.
32 views.
Can I ask you,
why did you pick Football Manager?
Yeah. I picked Football Manager because that was one of the only games my laptop had the capability to stream.
Okay, fair enough.
So it was the laptop's fault.
Well, yeah, it wasn't the laptop's fault. I would have obviously loved to have streamed Fortnite like Ninja does, but he's crushing it, isn't it? So.
He was crushing it.
But now?
But he's had a snag. He's hit a snag.
Is this the story?
A snag, a road bump.
Oh, is he? What's happened? Go on then.
What is the story?
You said, what's the snag?
I didn't say that. I said, what's happened?
What's the story?
I thought you asked me to explain what a snag was.
No,
that was a really good explanation of what a snag was.
Was it? Yeah, I was going to say a fork in the road. It's not that. Basically, Ninja decided to take 48 hours off of streaming, off of Twitch, to go visit E3, to go see what was going on at the conference, right? You would think that's fine, 48 hours, not too bad. It's a weekend off. He lost 40,000 subscribers to his account on Twitch in that 48-hour period. Now, just to give you a little bit of background on Twitch, so you can have followers and you can have subscribers.
Yeah.
Followers is free. Subscribers pay, and the minimum is, I think, $5 a month to subscribe to someone.
That's mad.
So that means 200 bags lost a month. I mean, they might come back, but for this month, Ninja's just dropped 200k like that, just because he took two
that
days off
mad.
to go and be part of something within the industry he's in.
Yeah,
which is I think the interesting part on it. It's like it's not as if he took time away to go do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
The man took time off to, if anything, further his brand.
Yeah,
I think this
by
is
going to this event.
This is an interesting one though for me because obviously Ninja is like known massive on Twitch, isn't it? Like he's the world's
he's the
biggest
man.
Twitcher.
Done things with Drake.
Drake blew him up and stuff, but like a minute ago, I actually looked at Ninja's YouTube channel. Ninja is doing 100k subs a day.
What on YouTube?
100k subs a day. He's at 13 million subscribers.
13?
Wow.
13 million. He's doing between 50 to 100k subs a day at the moment. So, although Twitch is, Twitch is his priority because obviously he's crushing it on there as well. And a £5.99 subscription rate for his million followers, he's making ridiculous numbers.
So that maybe, got
yeah, but it makes you question.
At least.
It makes you question, as a platform, Twitch, that seems to be quite a fickle audience to lose 40,000 people for 2 days of not streaming.
If you say it, but then you're literally, you're paying £5.99, the same money you basically pay for Netflix for just one guy. So you kind of want that guy to be on, right?
Yeah, but you want that guy to be on every single day?
It's demanding.
$5 a month warrant a new piece of content from the same provider every single day?
I think what you'll find is that the demographic that are his subscribers don't actually understand the in and outs of what actually happens for him to go live and just his life, actually having a life. So I'm assuming most of the people that subscribe to him are what, 10 to 15, 16.
Probably around about.
Right, so like, imagine when you're 10 to 15, 16, you're not thinking actually what's going into a YouTube video or into a
Twitch. You're just thinking of the piece
you're just thinking
see,
of
yeah.
what, exactly. So
shout out to everyone that thinks we can do two You Know Nothings in a week.
Yeah, literally. So I think it might be a little bit of that. They're like, why isn't he going to, you know what I'm saying? He's probably just one of them situations.
But isn't it just him playing the game, right?
Literally.
It's that's not, usually what it is, yeah.
And like, it's not, as long as he's got good enough equipment, it's literally impress and record.
Well, it's not just impress and record. Like he obviously has to do like the setup, the technical stuff behind the scenes. Okay.
And he's become a personality with it as well. So once he's live, it's you know, it's not just you're not just watching him play silently.
No,
he's giving you content.
Okay. Yeah, he's killing it. And also, like what I enjoy watching about Ninja is he streams for a long time. Like his time periods are long. I think he streams twice a day for 3 hours each period.
Wow.
Okay. So like that is
but that's what I'm, but that's what that's I'm saying. Yeah, that's yeah. My issue with the fickle nature of that audience is, if the guy just decided to, I mean, everyone's entitled to a holiday, but if the guy just decided to take 48 hours off just to go and disappear off the face of the earth, you could argue, hang on, people are paying for this thing here. But he's gone to E3, which is like, this is him going to somewhere that's going to further his brand and his career. The idea is, whatever we don't know what he's planning to do at E3, but whatever he's doing, it should lead to, in the end, better content for people that have paid to subscribe to him.
100%.
But the thing about Ninja now is that games companies will be clamouring after him. Because he is now at the stage, he's such a big gaming superstar that if he endorses a game, there's a very good chance that game blows up. So I bet you he was offered stinking amounts of money at E3 to go and represent games. So the 40K, he might have lost, whatever, £5.99 a month, 200K. He might well... Like behind the scenes, some of these like influencers are earning mad amounts of money to get Ninja for 2 days to blow up one game. Like you might be talking seven figures.
Well, it's also as well that he needs to be able to take a break. You can't maintain that level of content for a year. Yeah, what's well, physically, you can't do it.
Six hours a day.
But that's what I mean. The content will end up suffering because they're demanding so much
he's
of it.
Tired,
like, you, and there's like, a difference. The there's a difference as well to 6 hours of work a day and 6 hours a day of you having to present to an audience.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Like, not that you do more shoots out of us than anyone.
Yeah.
But you know, from a day when you're doing multiple shoots. Towards the end of it, you're wiped.
Yeah,
like you're tired.
It's probably going to be like an older generation that hear, "Oh, he's only playing games for 3 hours." But it's not only playing games.
It's both. It's the older and the younger audience. They're just like, "Oh, he's just playing games." You know what I mean? Whereas, especially us, we're going to understand what it takes to.
In the game, he needs to be working. Like he can't just switch on and go mess about and not really care and spend time doing absolutely nonsense stuff on the game. People are paying to watch him stream. The original reason they're doing it is because he's good at the game. So they want to see him be good at the game. That's the thing. So he's also got to be, which is difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I think Ninja's got a slight problem in that he is so, maybe not a problem, because originally he wasn't just a Fortnite gamer. Of course, he was Halo before that and other games. But he is now so synonymous with Fortnite. If Fortnite fell off the face of the earth tomorrow and people were like, this game's dead, like they did some sort of update that ruined the game, he has to pivot so quick to maintain that following.
Well, I think it was PUBG.
So potential
PlayerUnknown's Battleground was Fortnite before Fortnite.
Yeah.
And even though it's still got a core audience, a lot of that audience has gone to Fortnite.
Yeah. And you see like all Battlefield have announced Battle Royale, Call of Duty have announced Battle
Royale.
They're
all doing it, and it just means Fortnite potentially is the next one to fall off. But yeah, anyway, 200 grand lost like that. Interesting story coming out of E3. A lot of good news coming out of E3. Lots of amazing games and stuff coming out. Death Stranding looks incredible. Ghost of Tsushima looks absolutely bad.
Yeah, insane.
But I just thought in terms of a different slant on it,
I like it.
And it shows also a new story about Twitch, which is becoming more and more relevant in digital media.
Yeah.
But there you go. It's my new story for the week.
Oh, boom.
Jackson, you're up.
My story.
Yeah.
Is about Amazon taking a section of the Premier League rights for the next 3 years.
Ooh. I haven't heard much about this, so explain this.
Big news.
Basically, there's 7 different packages. Sky Sports have got 5 of them, I believe.
Packages being groups of games.
Yeah, so they're probably, they're normally kind of rounded up into like packages of like 30, 35 games. Something like that. I think by the way that the bidding was done, Sky couldn't actually take any more.
So they maxed out 5.
So they maxed out. And also, big shout out to Sky, because they've managed to get the rights for the next 3 years for more games at a lower rate than what they paid 4 years ago. Right.
Why is that?
I think because...
Just good deal breaking, or...?
Probably a little bit of that, but more that BT kept pushing each other so that, okay, Sky was scared that BT were going to bid this much. Right. BT was scared that...
It's blind bidding, is it?
Blind bidding, yeah. Which is very, very clever by the Premier League, but it may
it's
have...
It's dangerous for the people buying it, though.
May have bitten them in the arse this time because there was essentially two sets of packages that went unbought for an awful long time, and then Amazon have come in now... And they've said, yes, we want a bit of that. And from what I know, they have not paid a lot of money for it.
And that's, so that's, am I right in saying, is that going to be on Prime?
Yeah, so this is the really clever thing. This is the really clever bit I can see from Amazon's point of view. Is if you're an Amazon Prime member, which I am, you actually get these games for free. And so basically, it's weird. It kind of sounds like a bad deal when you think of it, because it's basically two rounds of fixtures. So it's 20 games they've brought per season for the next 3 years. Yeah. One round of games is Boxing Day. Another is a bank holiday. The Boxing Day...
So they've only bought 2 days of football?
Yeah, two days of football.
But multiple games on those 2 days.
And the Boxing Day one is, to me, is such a smart move, because Amazon Prime will do most of their business for the whole year between October, November and December, when people are buying their Christmas presents, yeah. Right? So say you have bought an Amazon Prime account for a month or for in the run up to the Christmas period.
Yeah.
You are now going to keep it for an extended period now, because you're going to think, hold on, we can now get like the Boxing Day kind of fixtures kind of way. And if you think of it in terms of like a stereotypical family kind of thing, you know, kind of like the wife's doing a lot of the shopping. Again, this is a probably get a lot of this, but you know, but then like the or whoever loves football is going to go, no, let's keep Amazon Prime because I want to watch the Boxing Day fixtures, which I think was an absolutely especially if they got it for the level of money that
what
I think
is the rumored amount?
I think it was I don't really know, but I can't really give you a figure, but I know it's
factual. What Sky's
yeah,
for me,
yeah.
So I've got two questions on this. So first one being, does that mean that you basically pick which game you want to watch?
Oh, right? No. So on Boxing Day, you can watch all 10.
Yeah, but so they'll all just be there as an option. And yeah. You can switch between.
Sick.
Yeah.
And so will they be, not that anyone's going to want to do this, but I imagine, will they be like on demand afterwards as well?
Yeah, but
second question, which is more, I saw this, I'm not 100% sure, but I was questioning it as you were saying that, was they've bought it for 3 years, yeah? I swear I saw a news story in the past couple of days that the FA have just agreed to a winter break in the Premier League.
Yeah, but that's going to come in February.
Yeah, it comes February to March.
February.
It's late.
Okay, so we'll actually miss it.
It's a late
but
one.
Even, so even that's not a bad idea. That if that comes in, they've got one of the biggest days of football leading up to when it's not going to be on for
a while. True.
I think this is like the start of a massive shift, right? From broadcast linear football rights to digital football rights. As far as I'm aware, nobody really truly on paper or contractually owns the Premier League or the Champions League digital football rights. But it's kind of...
There's an
agreement that because we've got the linear, we have the digital.
I don't think it will ever happen where someone owns fully the digital rights. It's worth too much money to the Premier League to be able to chop it up and go, okay, you can have this in Spain, you can have this in the UK. That's where all the money's in the British game.
But do you not think it will work in the same way as linear, as they will just start to divide up digital by territory, but everything will have to be geo-blocked? Because at the moment, as you're saying, it does exist, but it's not as set in stone that it's XYZ.
So as in, say I've brought the African rights to the Premier League, and I would have to, but I would also buy the digital rights as well, is that what you're asking? I think that probably does happen in some territories.
Now it's kind of agreed that it's part of the linear.
Yeah, because I believe in Germany, the Premier League, I think it's like a Premier League YouTube channel where you can watch, but obviously it's geo-blocked.
Yeah, the Bundesliga.
In terms of a digital audience, though, I don't have it to hand, but anyone know what were the figures of the Champions League final, BT Sport on YouTube?
Yeah, big.
Huge numbers.
It would have been big.
But I
also,
think
just kind of talking about that, right? Let's see, like the Champions League final. I would be fuming if I'd paid for BT for the past 12 months for the Champions League and then they give away the biggest game for free. I'd be fuming.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You're still getting to watch it, aren't you? So what's the issue?
Well, you've paid money.
Yeah, so why?
Yeah, but you've paid money to watch all the other games.
No, but you know why they had to have it on YouTube?
Why?
They had to have it on because they had to be able to guarantee X amount of eyeballs would be able to watch it.
Oh, when they cut the deal?
Yeah, when they cut the deal. Because again, okay. if they... Because again... UEFA have
hot take
sold their most prestigious competition to a particular station in the UK. Yeah. But then, if nobody's watching it, because not many people have BT Sport, the brand of the Champions League starts to become diminished.
It starts to suffer.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you need to guarantee.
I'm really interested to see how Amazon play it from, like, how it looks, how it feels, what presenters they have.
What to do with that? Is in the actual, like, how it's going to be made? You mean?
No, I'm talking about who's going to commentate on it, who's going to be the pundit in the studio. I think I can't wait for that, because I think that Amazon, if they're smart, go for the new wave of influencer and creator. I don't think they go and find...
I like that. I don't think they get
a Paul Scholes or a Steven Gerrard. I think they go for the new wave. They go for like a Stato. They go for a younger influencer on the scene.
Because it's on digital, do you think?
Yeah.
And i.e. like almost like a digital native audience. They're going to be more... They have more affinity, right?
I think that if that was me, that's how I would mix it up. Like I'd have an Optus statistician in the commentary booth with them. So when they're bouncing off, I'd go in the studio, I'd have a live Q&A segment to the show. Shit, like, stuff like that, I think... I think
he'd actually be wicked.
Smart up.
Like, on it.
Amazon, if you need me, baby.
Do you know what I was for things like that? I mean, you pitch side would be quality.
Get me on. Yeah, Amazon, I'll take it. But I, that's how I would play it if I was Amazon. Because...
Jeff Shreve's
on. How much would you like to see Joe presenting the Premier League for Amazon? Let us know down in the comments.
I'd do it.
You'd have to get your energy up and hay fever down.
It's a big story, big hay fever problems today.
Oh, next to the pitch.
Madness. My nose is just unbelievable.
My nose,
hold me up. Yeah, it's a podcast.
Also, like Sky Sports, if you want to see him presented for Sky Sports, both could happen.
Yeah. Could.
Forget BT.
Done a couple of little bits
for Sky Sports, actually.
Just moonlighting.
Just had like a little dabble, didn't
moonlighting.
It?
Catch me on fire.
Interesting like story, though. Definitely Bezos. Interesting story.
He's absolutely killing it.
Who, Ivan Gazidis?
Yeah, Bezos.
Bezos is just a wizard.
I read a report the other day.
He's a wizard, bro.
I can't remember, was it? I don't want to say 100 million. I'm going to say 100 million.
He's worth a lot more than 100 million.
No, 100 million Prime users.
A month. I think it was the revenue was 100 million.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but it was
some ridiculous number. And all Amazon care about, they do not care about the Premier League rights or anything. Like, all they care about is getting you to subscribe to Amazon Prime. Yeah, they care about is product.
Yeah.
Like their stage 2.0 is, I don't know whether you guys have already seen Amazon Prime Now, where you can guarantee you'll have an item within 12 hours.
Mm, it's mental.
That is madness.
Like, there's also chat about Amazon, I think it's called Amazon Button, where you can click a button anywhere in the world and you'll have that package within 6 hours.
That's crazy.
Like, you'll have, say you wanted milk already pre-planned into that button, you just click it and you'll have it.
That's weird.
That's a weird one. Crazy.
That's like the one they launched a while back where you could give door access to someone.
Yeah, a while ago, yeah.
Someone could walk into your house to deliver a package and there'd be a webcam in there so that you could just make sure the person did. But it's just weird. The idea of them giving access to your house is just like, you do that, fair enough for the package thing, but it's only a matter of time, matter of days, I think, if they launch that, before someone learns how to hack that system.
Yeah,
and then they've just got access to people's house.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that Amazon Prime bought the Premier League rights is to get people to sign up to Prime. And if you're a Prime user, you're 50% more likely to buy a product.
But remember,
I think the thing is for people to keep Prime after the Christmas period. Yeah. And then, as you say, like, so I got it for Christmas 3 years ago. And I've been 89 quid a year or something like that. I've just basically kept it since because there's a little show on it called All or Nothing. Very good.
It is actually. Haven't watched the All Blacks one yet though. There's an All Blacks one dropped
a week ago. Yeah, I kind of like started it. You know, Stu Kennedy actually made that.
Shout out Stu Kennedy.
All or Nothing.
The All Blacks one.
Yeah, that's what he was doing in New Zealand.
It's really cool.
That's
isn't
a man that's got to check it out. Big up to Bunk. Go and check that out.
All or Nothing.
Great.
Well, it's really good. So we like watch it for like the NFL, don't we?
All or Nothing is basically they embed within like a major team, a sports team for a year.
It's the one they did with the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're doing it at the moment.
So nice. I haven't watched All or Nothing properly yet. You put me onto it after I watched Last Chance You.
Yeah.
But I haven't got around to it yet.
So they're doing one at the moment with Manchester City behind the scenes. Obviously, people know about that.
Which will probably come out at Christmas.
And Netflix.
So then they'll watch that and then you've got the Premier League.
Netflix did the one with Juve, didn't they?
Yeah, the Juve one was horrible, man. That was such a bad day.
Well, the Netflix one.
Netflix absolutely dropped a f*** on that one, man.
Try pitching one about Arsenal the year following Wenger leaving to Facebook. Didn't want to know.
Oh, well. Should we go to the next story then, Savster? What are you stepping up with?
We're talking about, it's not really like a news story, but it's just, today is the day, we're filming this on the day,
Thursday, the 14th, a year after
the Grenfell disaster happened.
Yeah.
And there's been some bits and pieces flying around on the news about it. The reason it popped into my head today to bring it to the table is because there was a Rasta who stopped the tube. I can't remember what station it was, but it was going over the viaduct where you can see the building from, and he had like a brought his like Rasta flag out and he's waving it about and stuff, and I thought it was wicked. But I just thought to talk about it because it was such a travesty. I know people personally who were affected by it. Shout out Sade and Curtis. But it was just like, to me, it touched me like hard when it happened, and it was just something that I couldn't see how, I'm going to go in here, but with Theresa May, how you could be so sort of cold-hearted around the whole scenario. And I just wanted to get you guys' take on how they handled it, like where we go from here, where the community goes from there. Like, what are you guys saying about
it? I think I have two mindsets on Grenfell. One, both come from disaster. One is negative, but one is actually quite positive in the end.
Yeah.
The negative side is what you said about the way it was handled in terms of our government. And I don't just mean how it was handled, how our government let us be in that position in the first place.
Yeah.
Because one thing that hasn't been addressed big enough at all is the fact that supposedly there's a hell of a lot more buildings that are equipped in exactly the same way that are still standing in exactly the same state.
Yeah.
So it's like you're just on a clock when you're waiting for the next tragedy like this to happen again.
Yeah.
The way it's been handled since, in terms of money donated to it and things like that, like I'm not one of those people that's going to sit here and bash the royal family and things like that because it doesn't affect me that much. But when you saw amounts of money that were going into things like royal weddings and things like that over the past few months. And then you see how much money was donated to help fund, you know, the aftermath of something like Grenfell. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That we will happily invest money on things that have meaning, but the government is there supposedly first and foremost to look after the people in its country.
Yeah.
And they failed to do that. They failed to step up when they were needed. The one good thing that comes from this is from things like a tragedy like Grenfell, the community around that,
together,
the power that came from that is amazing. Yeah. And it really shows, not to go too deep with it, but I think human spirit when in times of tragedy, and probably more so when you feel like someone isn't looking out for you, like the people above who are supposed to, people come together and work together, and more so than ever, like, call it what it is, that love as a community conquers all the whatever else has happened in the past.
Yeah.
That is incredible, but that needs to be helped by backing from a higher end.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was crazy. Like the reasons that they gave for there not being ironclad on the building in the first place. Like, if you was to have said it would have cost too much money for the cladding to be put in place, it would have been wrong. Number one, there would have been enough money for there, but cool, let's say that you said that. But for you to say that it was an eyesore for the rest of the community, bearing in mind the borough in which it happened is the wealthiest borough in London, so for you to say that I just couldn't, it doesn't compute in my head.
For me, I like, this is like any other PM that this kind of stuff happens under loses their job. Like, there's never been an accountability to this. It's crazy. Exactly. There hasn't been a single person held accountable, really.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually look at Theresa May and what she's done since she's taken over, let's say, right, snap election, mistake. Brexit, handled pretty poorly. Mm. Grenfell, handled very poorly. The Windrush scandal, handled disastrously. Like, let's say, right, that's four major scandals. Yeah. And there's probably more that I'm forgetting that have happened over the last year.
All the infighting within her party as well and things
crazy.
Like that.
Yeah.
And things coming out about people in her cabinet.
Nobody actually wants it.
Like,
they
crazy.
Know how much of a... The next 5 years... Whoever's going to be in that hot seat, they have got one of the most toughest jobs.
Yeah,
because it is an absolute, can't swear, but it's a storm.
It's a disaster.
And it's a...
And I think, look, Theresa May has obviously, people have left her team and gone, but Theresa May seems to have just like floated above it, just like completely held unaccountable. Yeah. And like... I have to also bash Corbyn a little bit here. Like, Corbyn's all well and good being kind of this voice of the people and the voice of the many and stuff. He's not doing enough.
Yeah.
He's not doing enough as an opposition leader to push home. In any other situation, the amount of problems in this Tory government and Labour haven't capitalised on a single one of them.
Sometimes you need to come out and attack
you've got to play hardball.
That's his job. I love the fact that Corbyn is quite cool-headed about a lot of things. But sometimes that only works. The cool-headedness is only good when you're able to show when you kick and when you actually make a point.
Sometimes you need to be savage.
I think the way Corbyn handled Grenfell was actually good, because I think
initially
he was down there, and also like as long as there is going to be some answers and some accountability, I think, because I think if he would have used that as like a chip to go after her.
I'm not just talking about Grenfell here. I'm talking about
all of the other issues.
Is that it would actually go against what Corbyn stands for?
Yeah.
To turn this into a political play.
I don't think it's actually necessary to do with going after it and the defamation of the people that passed away. It's more about what happens now with the people who survived it and don't have a home. What happens to them? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Because all now it's been a year and they haven't been rehoused, which was promised, like Gigi said in her post in the morning. Like, I just don't see how they've got away with it, like you said. I don't see how there's no accountability.
Literally got away with murder.
It's madness.
Yeah. It's crazy, but yeah, so...
I would like to say, about the community stuff, like, I don't know if you saw that, the game for Grenfell and stuff like that happened at Loftus Park. Like, that was incredible.
Oh, bro.
And how you see stuff come together like that, and they got some of the guys that had lost people within it to come and actually... You know, go on the pitch and play.
Yeah.
Like that's a true testament to the UK, we're a very good country for pulling together when stuff like that happens.
Trust me, I mean, even like on the actual day after, people from every ends, like,
there's moments,
like some of my boys went down there and took water.
It makes you very proud.
Took water for the people that had like blankets.
Yeah.
That was all they had, like to their name was a blanket. You know what I'm saying? So Grenfell,
1 year on.
1 year on, definitely.
Anyway, moving on to my topic. It's World Cup Day. We have to talk a little bit about the World Cup. Yes, obviously.
Boom, Russia starts today.
Yes. So I thought we'll start. It's a slightly old story. It's probably 2 weeks old now with the Raheem Sterling situation. Okay, and then we'll go on to the England squad and World Cup predictions, whatever after.
Cool.
But the Raheem Sterling situation for me, obviously, if you haven't seen it, I don't know where on earth you've been. Effectively, he has been chucked under the bus yet again, not for the first time. By the British press and the British tabloid press for having a gun tattoo on his lower right leg, saying that it's promoting gun violence. And the Sun obviously went out and got some quotes from some bereaved families saying that they think it's a negative thing, and the Sun played off the back of that and drew up multiple headlines, mainly from a writer called, I think it's Adam Diaz, something like that, was kind of leading the charge against Raheem Sterling. So don't particularly like you, Mr. Diaz, because to me, Raheem's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, this is a young black male who's earning millions and millions, and let's face it, there is massive jealousy across the British media and the tabloid press that he's in this privileged position.
Mm-hmm.
He can do no right. There are headlines that say, Raheem Sterling flies economy class with EasyJet. Then it's Raheem Sterling spends £50,000 on a car. It's like, what? This is the only man in history who gets criticised for not spending enough and spending too much.
I think it's just racist. It's not to do with any kind of jealousy. It is racist.
You never see a single headline, Harry Kane buys jet, Harry Kane buys car.
No.
It's only ever Raheem.
What you see is the other end. Is that, not knocking Harry Kane at all, but it's literally the golden boy.
It's crazy.
If he had a gun tattooed on his leg, I don't think anybody would care.
Do you know the thing about that?
But the thing is that this isn't just one time this has happened to him.
There was an actual news headline about Raheem Sterling pulling up to training, and what they were bashing him for was the fact that his car wasn't clean.
Insane.
I can't believe
that. Are you...
And do you know where I've got an issue?
How do you pitch that story to an editor?
How does
two people, the person who came up with it as a story and another person who signed it off, how are they held in that position within a journalist?
No, but this is the thing, right?
I think that's newsworthy.
I think this says something very, very badly about the British public because it's like... It clearly gets clicks or sells newspapers.
They wouldn't do it.
So I've got another kind of problem with the British press is that with the use of social media and digital media, You know when you click through to these stories on like the Daily Mirror, it gives you the headline and it gives you probably like five bullet points.
Are you about to complain about clickbait? Because you are,
not,
mate.
Not complaining about clickbait. Like, clickbait is obviously currently the state of journalism across the world. That's
the title of this video is going to be World Cup winner revealed. Yeah. Question mark.
No, but when you actually probably will be. But those five bullet points I have huge issue with, because those five bullet points, to sum a story up, a really well written story in five bullet points, you can't do.
Hold on. So you see, you click on it, and instead, but so is it?
So five points in the headline. So let's say this one is Raheem Sterling has gun tattoo. Yeah. The next 5 points are
it's just bullet points. Yeah.
Raheem Sterling earns £65,000 a week. Yeah. Raheem Sterling promotes gun violence. Right, like it's such short surmises. It doesn't make sense. Like every England article you click on will be Kyle Walker in £85,000 watch. Yeah. What difference does that make? What money he spends on his watch? Man's earning millions of pounds. He doesn't spend 85 grand on a watch.
100%.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's not his fault. The industry he's in is inflated to that level.
Okay, bash his footballing ability. You might say Kyle Walker, terrible right back. He's not. He's an incredible right back. But they might hammer Kyle Walker. All well and good. You can hammer him on his footballing ability. That's what he's there to be judged on.
Yeah.
Do not hammer the man on his watch selection.
But I think it's what you're saying as far as like the jealousy in the fact that they're not able to be in the same position as him.
100%.
So they can't spend that 80, 85 and whatever bags on a watch. That's why they're going for him in that way. Do you know
Here's
what I'm
the
saying?
Question though. Why?
Even though they would if they were in his position.
They would 100%.
Like,
as you said before, that it seems to come down to that it does seem to be like an inherent racism within the British media. But why Raheem as opposed to any other player? Do you think it's the fact that Raheem Sterling is actually... Am I right in saying Raheem Sterling is born in Jamaica?
I believe so.
He could have played for England.
He has got Jamaican, he's got some Jamaican heritage.
But don't you also think a lot of this comes from the fact that the poor kid was like, when he was first coming through the ranks at Liverpool, he made a couple of mistakes, same as every other player does. Yeah. Like, I'm not being funny, just to use an example. Jack Wilshere would not be given this kind of stick at this point in his career.
Oh my God.
But he's a player who in his younger years was in the public eye because he did stupid things. Yeah.
Could you imagine if Sterling did what Wilshere did?
Oh. But what I'm saying is that there's so many players who in their early years make mistakes. Yeah. We all make mistakes growing up. That's part of those years of your life is to mess things up and learn from it. The whole point is you're that age, so you get past it and you learn from it. Yeah. Raheem Sterling has grown into one of the best footballers in his position.
Yeah.
How old was Bex when he went into that? What was it? 98.
Well, I'm going to say
he just became the scapegoat, didn't he?
I'm going to say about that one thing with Beckham. I will stand by this ever since. You go back and you watch that kick out of Diego Simeone. What followed from grown adults in this country after that
was a disgrace.
They're absolute idiots.
To look at
someone half kicking out a leg, tapping Simeone dropping to the ground, like how grown men and grown women back here saw that and thought, "I'm going to go and burn an effigy."
No, but that,
are you that stupid?
But the thing is that whole attitude of the nation was fueled by like the Sun,
the media. Yeah,
because I remember the back page was it silly, silly boy. I remember it. I was a kid then. It was silly, silly boy. So instead of going
supporting,
instead of supporting, going, "Look, he's made a mistake." Because quite clear, it was quite clear.
We were half done by it though, as well. We were penalised by a dive.
Bex should not have done that. It was really stupid.
I was actually doing a bit of research on this the other day. The Sun, I think it was the Sun, was it the Mail? One of their page threes was not instead of the page three model, it was a printable dartboard with David Beckham's face as the bullseye that you can stick over. Could you imagine that now? Imagine Raheem Sterling's face being front and centre on a dartboard. It's insane to think about how much shit David Beckham got. Yeah. But the British press love to hammer the English national team. It sells papers, always does well. Every single time a player has a problem, Beckham, I remember Phil Neville giving away the penalty. Massive. People were leaving
destroying
pictures
like
on on his front
Southgate
door and
edit.
Stuff. Insane. Southgate edit. It's gone over and over. Even I remember Euro 2016 and Roy Hodgson. He might not have performed well, and obviously we were a shambles, went out to Iceland. Mm. The back page of the Sun was mocking the way he speaks. It was like, "Roy," and had a picture of him as an owl.
I think the one time, I might be wrong because I might be missing someone else, but I think the one time it hasn't necessarily been picking out an England player was Ronaldo with a wink. But Ronaldo with a wink was when Ronaldo was playing for United. So it was still a player within our football,
but it was always,
that you can attack.
But it was still attacking Rooney.
It wouldn't have made a difference if he was playing Scotland. Or if he was playing whoever. No. It's because we were playing England that it happened.
Yeah. But to be fair, I suppose off the pitch this time at least, it feels a little bit more, to me anyway, the England team feels a little bit more positive this time.
I think so. I actually think there's a lot of risks, hopefully completely, you know, disproved, but there's a lot of risks and worry about the reaction certain players are going to get in Russia for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think as a nation, as England going out there as a team, we have a very solid foundation of a group of players that sort of will stand together in that. Yeah, I like to think if there's anything, hopefully it never happens, but if anything like that kind of bad stuff comes on the pitch, it would be nice to see our players actually just whatever the decision but together as one.
I don't think there'll be any racism on the pitch.
I don't know, outside the stadium, because
I think Vladimir Putin, like he did with the Olympics, this is his opportunity to show the world that Russia has changed, Russia is forward thinking. I don't think there'll be any kind of stuff.
It was crazy. I actually watched a bit of the Frankie Ball documentary
where it went over.
Do you think, I thought it was a bit plain.
What, is in the first? I've only seen the first episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit plain. You know when he tried to get in touch with the hooligans and stuff? Have you watched that bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know when he tries to get in touch with the hooligans, it's like, oh, we tried to get in touch with the hooligans, we couldn't do it.
But I think it was more. I think it was more of like a lifestyle piece, wasn't it, Frankie?
Yeah, it's Frankie. He basically says that they tried to get in touch with the hooligans. If you haven't watched it, and he says Putin has sent the FSB, which is the Russian Secret Service, round to all of the hooligans' houses and said, "You either have two choices: you either get out of the country, or we'll throw you in jail."
For the whole tournament.
So I actually agree with Jackson. I don't think there'll be that much. I actually do think there'll be racist chanting there. Inevitable.
Really?
Yeah, man. Inevitable. Inevitable. There's only so much you can stop. You can't stop it.
That's why I'm saying. It's not necessarily about stopping it because it's going to happen.
That's the reason that Danny Rose is not taking his family, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's about the what reaction you give it on the pitch and as a unit.
Yeah.
Players of all colours. Yeah. Will determine how that.
I just want to see England buying together for once. I feel like we're always like, oh, let's try and squeeze Rooney in the team. Let's get Gerrard in the team. And then it all crumbles and then it's like, oh, Rooney, stick it on his head. This is the first time where I think we've got into a tournament and it's been like, we've got a collective group of players. If one player gets injured, it's not an issue.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I also think that the group of players that there are, it's... I don't want to say the team with the least ego we've had, but I don't feel like there's any players in the team.
Point. It's just what I'm
like,
saying.
They don't have like that one player in the team where it's like, you're the ego man. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And I feel like that's a good thing.
It's not all, like you said, it's not all about Rooney. It's not all about Gerrard. It's not all about Lampard. It's not all about Terry. It's not all about Beckham. This feels like Harry Kane's the captain, but Harry Kane is, as much as he's one of the greatest strikers in the world at the moment, Harry Kane is a player that's come through with that generation that's playing with him.
There doesn't seem to be levels within this squad.
That's what I like. Yeah. I like that a lot.
So how far are we saying England are going to get?
Ooh. I think they'll make it out of the group.
What, round of 16? Our round of 16, I think, is fairly easy. I think it's like Senegal or...
I'm going quarters.
It's not a big team. It's not a big team.
If you'd have asked me 6 months ago, I'd say we're lucky to get out of the groups. As we get a bit further on, I'm starting to believe, mate. I can hear the three
all the way,
well, mate. What? So basically, I don't see it. We get out of the group, get into the second week of the tournament, then it's one game at a time, right? We come together.
This is exactly his tweet yesterday.
Right? You know, and you start to believe, you get on a bit of momentum, you know what I mean? Harry Kane's banging them in for fun, even though he's not world class, you know what I mean?
He hasn't won a trophy yet. But by the end of it, Joe, you can class him as world class because he'll win a trophy.
Semi-final of the competition, right? Kane, he's been useless the whole game. Danny, well, mate, get warmed up, son. He's coming on. He's going to get the equaliser.
We still believe it's coming.
I think for England... I think it all depends how Harry Kane starts the tournament. As much as we're talking about as a collective.
So he's not taking the corners.
Yeah, but Harry Kane is a notoriously slow starter. Always starts the season slowly. Doesn't play particularly well in September.
Stop pointing him.
He has to hit the ground running against Tunis. We should be battering Panama.
But do you know the nice bit about this England team is you're 100% right. But I honestly feel when you look at it, if Kane doesn't start the ground running, there's goals elsewhere in that team, which is something
Sterling, Rashford, Vardy, and
there's a few of them. Because the thing is, you look back on previous tournaments, like
Rooney, Carroll, Crouch.
Yeah, but and then it was like, and oh, hopefully Gerrard can ping one out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like now you're talking Kane, Sterling, even you like said Lingard, but Rashford, all these players,
yeah,
and then the likes of a Vardy. And then you're going into your Welbecks and whatever. Like, there's goals in that team.
So my
what
fear...
You and then you're going into...
Exactly. Come on.
Well, so I will say this. I am a huge Danny Welbeck fan.
Yeah?
I read a stat a couple of years ago that every time I've watched him play, it wasn't a stat, it was just a comment about him, that you won't see a striker win the ball off defenders
so
more
hard.
Than Danny Welbeck. And when you watch his game, he wins the ball back a lot. But he's also...
A donkey.
Very hit and miss.
Why have you said that?
He's a donkey.
As far as the press, mate. You know
he's
what I mean?
A donkey.
He's very hit and miss.
With it, as you say, if Harry Kane does not hit the ground running, right, I do not like the fact when we only play one striker, when he comes short, because then we get penned in so easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's, but he needs to just stay
but
out
that's,
there.
I wouldn't, I'm not too worried about that, to be honest. I think, like,
having, I, so, no, the reason I'm saying,
I think
when
being
I,
captain,
when I watch,
he might do that.
Yeah, he will, because he wants to be the man, and like rightly so, he wants to take responsibility.
The best way to lead, though, that's stay up top and start paying them
but
in.
But this is, hey, let's have this right. Like, Tottenham play the exact, this is one of the first times I can think of Tottenham play the exact same formation as England going to play to get the best out of our star players. Harry Kane can drop deep. If he's got Raheem Sterling and Dele Alli running through, I'm not asked about where Harry Kane Harry Kane plays that formation every week. He knows it better than we do. He probably knows it better than Gareth Southgate does, wow, with Pochettino coaching him. So I'm not too worried about where he wants to play.
I think have you ever listened to anybody from the golden era talk about why it didn't work? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
Right, so like, I listened to Lampard the other day on BT Sport, and he was talking about why he thinks it didn't work out for them. And the main thing that he puts it down to is that they were individuals playing in a team rather than a team playing in a group. So I feel like
individuals playing in a team rather than a team playing in a group.
Same team playing as individuals.
I think if they can, like you say, hit the ground running, if Kane can score in his first game, I think we'll be fine.
I think the biggest example is that when you look back, like the team that Sven had in 2006.
Oh. How did we not?
We had
I don't
so
get
many.
Yeah.
Genuine,
that was the Seaman one, yeah? With the chip.
No, that was 2002. 2006, right? 2006, we had many genuine world class players in that team.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
But yet, it wasn't a team.
Yeah. That's what I mean. They were a group of individuals.
Yeah.
You're right. You didn't say, where do you think we're going to get to?
What's that?
Where do you think we're going to get to?
We'll definitely make it out of the groups. And then I think it's a toss up between semis and quarters. But I think
semis,
I'm going semis.
Can I be honest with you? I said quarters, right? Quarters is my head. But I am a bit in his camp where I can't help myself. It happens I'm so level headed. And then the second, like today at 4 o'clock, because we're shooting this the day the World Cup starts. Today at 4 o'clock, when that first ball's kicked and you hear Cup crowd, we're going to win it.
Yeah,
I think we're going
to
win it.
What's going to happen there? The first ball's kicked, and then because Sadre got the ball, and because they're not white, boom!
So, let's go on to our last bit then. Would you rather? Cool. What was the would you rather this week? You do it, Honor.
But basically, we were thinking of doing a would you rather each week, weren't we?
Yeah.
Just to give it something. We might change this. Basically, we want you guys in the comments below to let us know either some would you rathers for us to answer, or some segments within the podcast, yeah? That's what we're looking for. Ideas for things we can do. Yeah. As with everything on Balls Up, it's always been moulded by yourselves.
Yeah.
But for this week, we thought we'd start with a simple would you rather.
Yeah.
And it's quite simple, okay? Would you rather fight 5 Danny DeVito-sized Brock Lesnar's or 1 Brock Lesnar sized Danny DeVito?
Okay, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Hands down, 1 Danny DeVito sized Brock Lesnar.
No, that's not an option. 5 of them or 1 Lesnar sized Danny DeVito?
Yeah, one Lesnar sized Danny DeVito.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Because that, what's he looking at? You know that big?
4'11", so that's 4'10".
So
he's about the height of Miller.
And are we talking, are we just talking about in terms of height? So we're not talking about his reach, any of that stuff. So also as 1, you can run away from 1.
So when he's Brock Lesnar's size, he'll have the proportions Danny DeVito would have in terms of his arms, but if he was that size.
Yeah. I'd 100% go 5.
Why?
Because
they can trap you.
Knees, yeah.
Exactly. It's all kick game. With the height of Lesnar, how tall is Lesnar?
He's about
6'3". I'll get it up, but I think he might be bigger.
Does he have the speed of Lesnar, or does he have the speed of DeVito?
See, this is the thing, right? If there's five Brock Lesnar's, but they're 4'10", even fighting one Brock Lesnar and he's 4'10", he'll still
get, 6'3".
Kill you.
Hey, lads. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, one Lesnar at 4'10". One Lesnar will kill you.
You know,
at 4'10".
At 4'10". So I think you've scrappy got little wrestler.
He's so strong.
You have to go. You have to go with the one, the Danny DeVito size. I think
I would go for the one Lesnar size.
Yeah, you have to, bro.
Because
yeah.
I reckon I could take
him. I'm changing my mind. I would also go for that.
Like, because the thing is, as well, it's five. When it's five, it's like, imagine you're there with five. It's like, right, I'll take two. I'll easily take two. Yeah. I could probably take four with a reach. I'll just spear out a lot. I'll be like you in Roxy a couple of years ago.
When it all kicked off.
What happened? Just pile in.
Called anecdotes.
Go on, what happened?
Well.
So, right, it was a Christmas
it was
party.
Kicking off. I was trying to be the hero.
It was Christmas party. No, it wasn't even trying to be the hero, because I know exactly how it came about. It was our Christmas party. How long ago? About 4 years? It's
2013, maybe.
Something like that, 2013, 2014. Christmas party, we're in a bar called Roxy in London. And Dave comes up about 5 minutes before and starts telling people they're not allowed to leave. No one's allowed to be leaving early. You've all got to stay. Everyone's got to stay out.
I haven't seen him on a night out for about three years now.
Within 10 minutes of him saying that, he decides he wants to go home.
Shock.
So he's now trying to decide how he can get out of the club without causing a fuss. I'm standing, I've got my ex-girlfriend here and she's talking to our CEO at the time. And I look over in the corner and he just decides to start having a bit of a row with one fella, right? But it's just one-on-one with a pair of them. So I'm watching it and I'm thinking, right, don't pile in. It's just the two of them, so leave it to it. Then the second it kicked off, Dave can handle himself, but as soon as it kicked off, this fella's mates all piled in straight on it, weren't they?
About
50 of them. There's about eight blokes all coming.
It was eight
Brock Lesnar all piled in. So I was just like, all right, it's your mate, you've got to do it. Just piled over, but just thought, right, I'm not going in windmilling for it. I'm just going to take out as many as I can take out. So just ran in, just arms out, just rugby tackled and took as many against the wall.
Loads of them, mate.
apparently.
There was about 150 of them.
Best thing I would say, it'd be the second shout out Stu's got this episode. Yeah. Got them against the wall. I had four. Got them like this.
Just look across.
I remember because I had two on each arm. Look across. No, because this is great for how it ends in the world with me getting the credit. Look across, I've got Stu on one side of me, Stu who does the bunks, used to work with us, and Luke, hello, shout out Hatfish, on the other side, both holding a couple of fellas as well. Yeah. Also, he's getting kicked out at this point as well. Then he gets kicked out, your brother's trying to kick, Pete's trying to kick off outside the club, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was fine, it was all done. Anyway, I come into work the next morning, and I walk in to the office, open the door, and the whole office, someone shouts, I think him, goes, here he is, and everyone goes, ah, big round of applause down the whole thing. I was there, what's going on? And everyone goes, Dave's just told us about when you took out those fellas in the fit. I went, hang on. I went, Stu and Luke are in the room, right? They're already in the office sitting down. And I was looking, so I went, what about? And they both looked at me and went, got nothing. They got nothing. No one gave them a cheer, nothing. I got all the credit for it.
Sounds good.
But shout out to Stu and Luke, because it was them as well.
You didn't answer, though.
Where did that come about from? Oh, Danny DeVito.
You didn't answer.
I'm taking one Brock Lesnar size Danny DeVito.
Yeah, we're all in agreement now.
Just a quick reason, though, right? I actually know, like, a 4'10 guy who would probably kill me if I fought him. It's not me, lad. But I know a guy who would do that. So maybe just, yeah.
You know, Lord of the Rings, them dwarves have super strength, man.
Oh, bro.
I don't know if it's like that in real life or what.
That's also fictional.
Crazy, man. Anyway, so that was the end. Is that the end? Is that the end? Yeah, we'll wrap it up there.
What do we want people to do?
We want people to let us know what you thought of the NSFW podcast. Yeah. Any suggestions you'd make to what we're chatting about. Any extra little tidbits you'd add. Also, go and check out Root Attire Clothing. Mm. The link's in the description below.
I'll tell you what, I've been sitting here for an hour. Very comfortable.
It looks very comfortable, isn't it?
And very nice designs and style.
Yeah.
The back of these, but the backs are nice as well.
Look at the back.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, go and check those boys out. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Go and check out Agony Uncles. Yeah, that's it, innit?
Yeah.
Peace. Yeah, bye. Peace.
See you later.
I think I just kept my knee about halfway through that. I can't even move it.
What do you mean?
Just can't move my knee.
Absolutely agony.